Support for the Faith Middleton Food Schmooze from Table and Vine, the New England destination for wine, spirits, and beer, including microbrews on Riverdale Street in West Springfield, Massachusetts, less than half an hour from Hartford, tableandvine.com. If you like to eat, drink, and be merry, you're in the right place. Faith here with your welcome toast. It was Art Buchwald who said, "I like champagne because it always tastes as though my foot is asleep." Please feel free to consume this show podcast in one bite, two bites, or oops, I ate the whole thing. Everybody got their shades on? I think so. It is great to have you joining the party on the Faith Middleton Food Schmooze. It is the place to have a good time. We're going to be talking about fruit desserts that are going to kind of drive you wild, especially this chunky bundt cake that has got Meyer lemon pieces in it, and it's got grapefruit in it. This lemon verbena olive oil cake. We're going to get into all of that. We've got the cocktail event. The martini competition is set to go. The discovery of the single best potato chips in all the world. I am not kidding you. This is new. It's from Spain, and they're available here. It's unbelievable. All right, my treasured food buddies are here. We have senior contributors Chris Prosperi, Alex Province, Anthony DeSerio, our cocktail guy, and our special guest, Carol Peck, chef and co-owner of Good News Cafe in Woodbury, Connecticut. It's one of my favorite places to go. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey.
Party.
That's what we do. You know that. Well, it's just like your place. Okay, Carol, it's such a pleasure to have you back on the show. I've got to tell you and everyone about this discovery. Here, this empty bag. This is...
empty bag. Let's say that again.
Honestly, I have never in my life had a potato chip like this.
I know. I read that thing you wrote, and I was like, I hope she saved one.
Are there crumbs?
I know.
Alex and I said we'd lick the bag.
I have one half.
We'll rip it in half.
Just cut little squares out of it.
The only reason I didn't bring these back, you know, bags for you, is that I carried the bag home from the market. Then I got home and I thought, oh, I got those potato chips. Let me try those. They were so incredible. But now I'm home from this market. So these are called black truffle. These are black truffle potato chips made by Torres.
Yeah.
And the company's Torres Selecta. You can get these online. These are from Barcelona, or Barcelona, as Alex would say. And they have dehydrated real black summer truffles in them truffle, you know, oil flavoring. Mm-hmm. And they're salty and crisp, and they're absolutely
incredible. When you open the bag?
I almost fainted, and then I put one in my mouth, and I said out loud in the room by myself, yeah. Oh, my God.
How long did it take to eat the little bag? It's not a very big bag.
They're so unbelievable. Now, they're on the pricey side. I paid $2.39 for this little bag.
That's what happened.
How many ounces?
Carol.
One.
1.41 ounce.
But that's a good amount of potato chips.
Yeah. What are they fried in?
It's fried as most potato chips are in safflower oil.
Safflower.
Okay. Yeah.
And you said Amazon, right?
Well, you can get these on Amazon and gourmet markets in our area have them. I got these in Agata and Valentina in New York City.
Okay, cool.
But I went online and looked them up, and you can get them in a lot of places. Yeah. So
were they the ones who were created by Adria Farian?
No.
From El Bulli? Because he did a whole line of potato chips, too, that's out there now.
Yes. Yeah. And no, these aren't. This is a company, and they make various flavors. You'll see online they make various flavors of things. And I think these are the best potato chips I've ever had in my life, honestly. Really, black truffle, trufa negra, it says on the bag.
And I like that it's a smaller bag, because when I buy a big bag, it doesn't matter.
What's
Honestly, it's like every bag is a single serve. Even the one that says family.
It's a
tapa
size.
It's a
tapa
size.
So good.
I'm already thinking summer and a nice hot lobster roll with those on the side.
Oh.
The lobster with the truffle together.
That's a good idea.
Amazon delivers overnight. I'm thinking to tomorrow.
We're all on our smartphones ordering. I already ordered. Seriously. Get a case.
That's why you were.
That's why I face like, why are you on your phone? No reason. We're just ordering potato
Amazon
chips.
Prime. Yeah. Oh, oh.
All right.
You'll be there when you get home.
And here's, I know. We're very close to the we'll have it to you in 1 hour.
Yes.
Right? We are.
Yeah, drone.
This is
the
where drones. I think people think I'm crazy about drone delivery, but I think it's really going to happen for food. Rich Hanley said to me, I'm crazy. He said, that's not going to happen with food. And I think it is.
Oh, my God. I'd be staying. Right? I would be sitting
going
on
to
my
your window.
Stoop waiting for those potato chips. I would have binoculars coming from the west.
I'd be intercepting your neighbors. Here comes potato chips.
All right. So I was going to say, Anthony, when you came up with the great idea of having the lobster roll and these potato chips, which is a genius combination.
And a little champagne.
I was going to say, you know, what about the cocktail? So that raises a whole new topic because we have now the ticket destination is set up for you. We are getting closer and closer to the Fuchmoos Martini Competition. And our goal this year is to break. We had 850 people last year. It is the hottest dance scene you have ever seen. The party, amazing DJ. The cocktail stations, wall to wall everywhere. The most amazing, innovative martinis, we call them. We know there's just the classic martini. These are innovative. And it's a competition. You vote when you get there. We have iPads for your – we have tablet voting, I should say. So it is just amazing. And there is food everywhere.
And a great new location this year.
It's really cool, exciting.
Right?
Yeah. It is
I'm excited
at
about that.
The Mashantucket Pequot Museum, which is right next to Foxwoods. We have worked out a deal. We know that usually hotels sell out. People want to be extra safe, and so they either chip in on limos or we have a special designated driver ticket that is at a very reasonable rate. So people designate someone and they come. And then we also have worked out a deal with Foxwoods, and they're discounting their hotel rooms.
Sign me up. I'm staying tonight.
Oh, it's the most fun ever. Honestly, this is the hottest
party.
So it is Thursday, June 23rd. It is at the Mashantucket Pequot Museum. It is the most gorgeous space. We're so excited about this. We have all kinds of things for you to see online. ctmartini.org. As always, we have employers that are gifting employees with these tickets for a job well done. We want to break 1,000 this year.
We can do it.
I know. I'm so excited.
No reason.
You know, it's festive dress. You wear anything you want. We've seen everything. Cool hats. It's the most fun. Everyone dances with everyone. I've never seen a party like this. It's the most fabulous party. Thursday, June 23rd, 6 p.m. You want to meet someone? Let me tell you, this is the place to do it. ctmartini.org. Okay, that's that. Carol Peck is here from Good News Cafe in Woodbury, Connecticut. It's one of my favorite places to go, as Carol knows, because I'm tucked into a booth there pretty much year-round. So great to have you here. And you brought us a great recipe. It's a wonderful time of year for this kind of thing.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, it's good to see you here in the studio. I know.
What I did is you...
I don't mean I know. It's good to see you.
Of course it is.
Okay, well, we're thinking, you know, of course this year is a little different than other years that we might have an early spring, it seems. So we're going to get a lot more local vegetables sooner than later. But it's always that weird time of year, March, April. You want to be eating spring food, but it's not really around yet. And you're really tired of the sort of squashes and cabbages and all those kind of things that you eat in the winter.
Potatoes.
Yeah. So I came up with a chicken tagine, a lighter one.
And thank you for the recipe.
Well, you're welcome.
We have it on the website. It's so generous of you. So tell us, if you don't, I have a tagine, but I never actually use it.
Right.
So you don't have to have one?
I have a house in France, and we have a lot of... That influence from Algeria, Morocco, is all part of southern France cooking and everything. So when I'm over there, I make a lot of these. But I do it here as well.
The clay
ones?
Out of clay?
Yeah, they have the clay ones there. And those you have to season. If they're porous, you have to season, put them in the oven, and that sort of thing.
Or they'll smell like terracotta, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But you also here you can buy the glazed ones as well as okay. in France too. You buy the glazed ones. But the idea of that is that you put the food that cooks the slowest on the bottom and you stack okay. up your food, and it works almost with the cover like a convection oven. Wow. It lets steam out, but the air sort of goes around the whole stew.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so that's how that works. But you can use a Dutch oven or something like a creuset or whatever to yeah. make this kind of tagine as well. Huh. And it comes out lovely. But I like to layer everything, and then you don't touch it.
That's
you're not
cool.
stirring it. You're not doing anything else
That's
to
great.
It. So, and this one is really just chicken and vegetables. Preserved awesome. Lemon is one of the ingredients because we live by preserved lemons.
Oh, my God. Yeah. We do.
I don't know if everybody knows about them, but, you know, you can make your own or you
not
can
that
buy
hard,
them.
Right?
They're not hard at all to make. You know, you just wash your lemons, cut them in half, cover them with salt and lemon juice, let them sit at least 3 weeks.
Yep. We put ours
in a
the
jar.
Sink.
Yeah. In a jar or even a plastic container.
And,
we do them
and you can buy them, too.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, so.
But not rocket science to make.
Yeah, no, they're easy. But tagine is lovely because it's springy. And this one I included fresh favas if you could get them.
Coming soon.
And over there, you know, they leave the favas still with the shell on, not the whole pod. But they'll leave the shell on and you just sort of work it in your mouth and spit that outer shell out or eat the whole thing.
In France, in southern France.
Yeah.
Oh, they change the flavor at all?
Don't tell my prep cooks.
Mine either.
Quiet, you.
Because you could get a bushel of fava beans and end up maybe with 2 quarts of fresh ones. So.
Delicious.
But they're delicious. But, you know, they're an early spring vegetable. They don't necessarily grow so well around here. In the later summer, we'll get them here. But, you know, as I said, I like to be local, but sometimes you can't be local.
So,
you know, you have to get sugar, lemons, coffee. And in the winter, you know, you have to go to other countries.
There are some chefs we've had on the show who believe in, you know, you're supposed to only eat the food within 50 miles. And I don't live that way, and I don't choose to live that way. I understand that politically, but you're not someone who does that, obviously.
No, I believe in using seasonal, but, you know, I really depend, and especially in the summer, and local vegetables and everything. But in the winter, I can't tell my people that I can't get broccoli. They say, go to the supermarket and buy it.
and
they're right, you know.
So, eat more potatoes.
So it's that kind of thoughts that you have to go with, that you're also in a commercial endeavor. You're running a restaurant, and people expect certain things. I don't grow tea. Tea doesn't grow around here, you know. So it's those kind of things.
Or coffee.
Or pineapples.
Yeah.
And they're in season right now.
Yeah.
Pineapples are delicious, right? Mangoes are in season.
Oh, I just had one of those champagne mangoes. You know, the yellow ones that are so exquisite. Oh, my God. It was so amazing. So everybody have a look at those. They're in most markets right now. Okay. So, Carol, if you don't have a tagine and you're doing it in the creuset, some kind of heavy bottom pot, what all together in there at once? Or
do the same method I gave in the recipe. Okay. You're going to brown your chicken. And if you notice in the recipe, I tell you to put your chicken on a baking sheet, cover it with spices, put it in the oven, and you're done without any sauté and everything else. It browns it off. It's fast. And then you continue on. Mm. And you make the rest of the tagine with all your ingredients put in the way the ingredients are listed in the recipe.
And that's online at foodschmooze.org right now. Why do you cook the chicken off first?
Because you want to have some color and you want it to seal a little bit, too. Otherwise, it's going to be pretty pale in there.
Poached.
Yeah. And you want those spices to bloom as well. And with hot heat like that, you're going to get a better spice infiltration into the dish.
See, this little step.
Little secrets.
This is the chef trick that where you think you go to someone's home who knows what they're doing the way Carol does. You say, oh, why does this? You go to her restaurant and you say, why can't I do this? These tricks that you have, and you're so great to share.
It's a great tip, too, with the doing it on a little sheet pan, because I watch people have trouble searing and how hot the temperature is. And that's it's almost foolproof, right?
Oh, doing absolutely.
It that way. You toss it with the spices, you throw it in a hot oven, it's seared. And you don't have to think about, like, am I searing it too much? Mm-hmm. Am I looking at it? And is it sticking? And
are you putting a piece of parchment paper down?
No, it depends. I mean, at Good News, any pan is up for the oven, you know. So. But at home, if you want to protect it, you could. But we almost like that it gets that little
charry.
Sticky. Yes, those wonderful little scraps at the end.
You did the decor in your restaurant, didn't you?
Yes.
It is the coolest.
Oh, yeah?
It is the just chic cool. It is so fabulous, the design of this place.
And well, thank you.
You know what we have to do? Let's do...
Drum roll, please.
No, seriously.
Here it comes. I know that finger.
Will you all join me? Can we do a meetup in the bar at your restaurant?
I would love that.
Seriously?
I'll go. I'm in.
Yes. All right. So everybody runs their own tab. And I'm talking to you, dear listener. Meet us at the bar. This is wild. We've never done this before.
This is great.
Let's do a Wednesday.
Wednesday is a good day, midweek.
Because it'll make it seem like the weekend has come sooner. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Wednesday, I'm picking a date right out of the air. April 6th.
Yeah.
Meet us 6 to 8 in the bar at Good News Cafe in Woodbury, Connecticut, and we'll nosh, we'll drink.
I like it.
Yeah,
cocktails or soda or coffee, whatever you want
to
do. And we'll have and we'll hang out.
Reservation at 8 o'clock for dinner because we'll stay and eat.
Okay,
if you're up there, you've got to stay and eat. Absolutely,
this is a meetup. Okay, so we're going to do the
happy hour.
We're doing a food schmooze meetup. Everybody's in. Every single person.
I'm in.
Our senior producer, Robin Doyen Aiken, is shaking her head. She's in. We're all in. We're all going to be there. So that is Wednesday, April 6th.
6 to 8.
6 to 8 p.m. We're having our own little food schmooze happy hour there, just for the fun of it. Okay, all right.
I'm having local tea.
Come and see us. Come and have some fun. I'll bring the tea I've grown. Yeah. I'll harvest it before.
Lemon verbena could be the tea, but that's a tisane.
That's right.
It isn't a tea. There's a difference there.
I've never, in all the years I have known you, I've never asked you this. What is the single most popular thing on your menu? Do you know it?
I thought you were asking me.
I'm asking
the macaroni and cheese
and her lobster mac.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
But wait, if you took it off, people would just scream. What is it?
Okay, lobster mac.
I know.
Wok shrimp. Ooh. Caesar salad. Lobster soup, the coconut cake.
I know.
It might be cheesy to say I like the Martha salad.
The Martha, too. I forgot about the Martha.
Shrimp?
The wok shrimps has been on since I've opened.
Yep. I have never had that.
Yeah.
I'm having that.
Yeah, no, you have to have that
on
one,
April 6th.
That one was based.
How many things can we order?
All of them.
All of them.
That was interesting, that dish. I came up with it when I opened Good News, because I used to eat in Miami when I lived there. There was a tapas place before tapas were really in, and they just did the potatoes with aioli, and that's how that dish came from there.
Really?
Yeah. It's just delicious.
Alex,
pure comfort.
When I get that dish, the potatoes and paprika and the little bit of spice.
Patata bravas.
We do a Basque seafood that's similar to that with octopus and clams in it.
When is that on the menu?
That's on as an appetizer.
You should
it
small
is?
Plate.
Yeah. Okay. April 6th. Yeah. I'm going to be starving myself until then. Now I'm excited. Okay.
Don't do that.
April. I know, no. All right. So we're going to take a break right now. It'll be quick. But on the other side of this break, we have the Don Corleone Negroni coming your way. It's a Jell-O shot, but it's really unusual. Stay with us. More mouthwatering conversation and fun ahead on the Faith Middleton Food Schmooze. I hope you will make a charitable contribution to Feed the Hungry. We're online now at foodschmooze.org. We'll be right back. Okay, hope that first bite of the food schmooze felt like a hot biscuit with butter coming your way. Feel free to tell your food-loving friends worldwide they can enjoy the show and our online site at foodschmooze.org. Here's your second bite.
Beans and cornbread. Beans and cornbread. Beans and cornbread. Beans and cornbread had a fight. Beans knocked cornbread out of sight. Beans. Cornbread said, now that's all right. Beans. Meet me on the corner tomorrow night. Beans. I'll be ready. I'll be cornbread ready tomorrow night.
We have a free podcast of this show for you. Do you all do podcasts? Is everybody doing them in this room? I mean, it's really pretty much
easy.
Pretty simple.
It's the way, I guess, we're all getting access to everything now.
You
so
get what you want, when you want.
That's, yeah, on your schedule. So yeah. We have set up a podcast of this show, and all you do is just sign up for it once at our site, and that's foodschmooze.org. Sign up for it there, and we'll send it to you automatically.
I get it on my phone, and then I plug my phone into the car, and then I listen to the Food Schmooze whenever I want on the way home. It could be 11 o'clock at night.
Exactly,
it could be 9 o'clock in the morning.
That's what I do.
Plug it in.
That's
so
exactly what I
laughing.
Do.
Yeah, I can hear. I can actually, how many times?
I think.
I count. Oh, okay. I laughed 9 times on that show.
Oh. All right. So I'm with my treasured food buddies, Chris Prosperi, chef and co-owner of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut. Our special guest, Carol Peck of Good News Cafe in Woodbury, Connecticut. Hey. And we have our senior contributor and wine broker, Alex Province, and our senior cocktail contributor, Anthony DeSario. Quick thing on, promised to do a garden hack. Maybe next week we'll get to more of these. But remember last week you were saying that your father didn't have sun in his yard.
Yep.
And so what could he do? And we had this idea that we found online where you hang used gutters, roof gutters.
Yeah, the
roof
rain gutters. I keep looking at them, and I'm like, oh, no.
You hang them where the sun shines.
Yeah. Like so reflectors? You have a reflector?
No. So if like you let, you know, sometimes you don't have sun in your yard, but you look over and the sun is shining on the side of your garage kind of thing. Yeah. Wherever the sun is shining, you take these rain gutters and you nail them up or attach them to the side of the garage. They're in the sun, and you just plant in the gutter. The soil,
like a 6-foot piece or
the water, you can either cut holes in the bottom or the water drips out the ends. Yeah. It's fantastic. Okay, so that's number one. Number two, I'm online looking for more of these garden hacks, and what do I see? Somebody has come up with the same idea of using, you know, the shoe bags that you put on the closet door? Soil in the pockets.
And it has holes in the bottom.
Herbs growing on the wall.
And just put it outside, hang it up.
Inside your closet.
with one of those grow lights. Why are my clothes so
You smell like potatoes.
You smell like mints. They smell like lemon verbena.
Somebody else, this cracks me up when people do things like this. Remember that we went to the phase where people were putting chairs and sinks in the garden and planting in them?
Yeah. Yes.
So now they've got rubber boots. Rubber boots.
I like
they
that.
Put soil in it, in the boot, and
kinda
they
looks funky.
Put flowers and, definitely looks funky. Okay.
Not your taste.
Alex and I were just talking about repurposing things, and that fits, doesn't it, Alex?
Yeah. I'm still thinking a big tire.
I'm still on tires.
That's what tires are great.
Blight ordinance gardening.
There are a lot of tire gardening online. I'll tell you that right now. There's so many tricks
online. Still love the hay bale.
I still like the hay bale.
I'm going to do it this year. I say it every year.
Do
the hay bale.
They rot, though. You have to really be careful because it gets too moist.
Yeah, I know, but I'm
going to
give it a
shot. Really control how much water you're getting into that.
So our vet, Todd Friedland, does all of his garden in a hay bale up the side of his lawn where he doesn't want to mow. Sun blasting there. So he sets them up in there, and he wires the hay bale first. And so that when it starts to collapse a bit, it all stays in place. And he grows everything this way. He's got plants coming out of every end and side and piece of these hay bales.
So he keeps it that it's really in a sunny spot. Keeps it sort of dry in a certain way that he gets to water it on his own.
And there's a certain prep that he has to do first,
It's a 10-day process it and fertilize it.
Yeah, but well worth it, and you don't have the same pest issues. It's really incredible.
And you don't have to dig in the dirt.
And no weeds.
Yeah.
Wasn't he even growing potatoes inside?
Yeah, he was doing everything.
Yeah.
Absolutely everything.
Everything.
Wow. Okay, some more garden hacks for you coming up. I think the last time we talked, in case you missed it, we talked about the burying the plastic soda bottles with holes in them. In with your plants. So we talked about doing the plastic milk container so that the nozzle is at the surface of the soil and then it waters the roots of the plant. You just put your hose into the container, fills up with water, and very slowly drips out. Okay, now the other one I'm going to give you today is this one about the small soda bottle.
We shouldn't be drinking soda.
Water bottles.
Small water bottles.
we shouldn't be buying water.
Well, you know what? You can get tons of at the recycling center. You can get tons of bottles.
Exactly.
The side of the road.
How organic are they?
You cannot call it an organic garden if you water with a plastic bottle.
If it leaches with plastic.
What if it's a recycled plastic bottle?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think how you can get holes in a wine bottle.
Very careful.
A drill. Yeah.
Did anybody do this? I did this when I was in school. We bought these kits that cut your bottles.
Whether it was a soda bottle.
And you made your own glasses.
That's it.
And you sanded the top and it cut off perfectly. And we were standing around drinking out of these bottoms of bottles and saying, I made these glasses.
I know. That goes to our repurposing.
It was like macrame.
I was going to make champagne.
Same era. I met
a gentleman once who he and his wife used to come into one of the bars where I first started working in, and he would always ask me for like the fancy frosted bottles, the leftovers, you know, can I have the empties? And I asked him why, and he came in one day with this beautiful cheese board that he had made. And what he did was he had that tool where he cut the top and the bottom of the bottle off, then he would slice it in half. Just down one side, and then he would heat it so he had a way that he would spread it and flatten the glass out. Oh. So he had these cheese boards out of liquor bottles.
And
he would flatten out the glass part and put it almost like on a cutting board, but he would recess it and let that glass just sit at the bottom of it.
Was it good looking?
It was gorgeous. It was absolutely gorgeous. My favorite was when the ones where he made the mistakes and he ended up making a mosaic because the bottles had broken and he flattened out all the different pieces instead of just having like... Huh. You know, that one frosted fancy bottle that, you know.
I just love people who do this kind of thing. I just think it's just adorable.
Craft.
Okay, so I don't know how we got off on that. This is the Food Schmooze Party. I love when we go down these side roads.
Where are we?
We are with our special guest, Carol Peck of Good News Cafe in Woodbury, Connecticut. And we have, in the last segment, if you're just joining us, we know people are piling in every 15 minutes. We just spontaneously have decided to do a meetup at Good News Cafe's bar on, what did we say, Wednesday, April 6th.
All of us who go,
we're just going to run our own tabs, and we're just going to hang out in the bar from 6
chill.
To 8.
Hang out with us at the end of the evening.
And we're all in. So come and hang out with us.
Totally.
That's in Woodbury, Connecticut, Good News
Sounds
Cafe.
Sounds like great
it's
fun.
Very chic. Yeah. I know.
Beautiful place to chill, right?
We might even have
the patio open by
then. Are we all going to
The air conditioning might be on.
Oh, it's been on already.
This is the first time we've ever done something like this.
Are we all going to fit into your booth over there?
Yeah. I know. We're just going to stand around in the bar. Okay. So online, we've got a cookbook coming up, which is Sweeter Off the Vine. And this is using fruit as the central focus for desserts and some really interesting things, really good things, a special bundt cake that I'm particularly attracted to. We also have Carol Peck's recipe for a chicken tagine where it's chicken and vegetables. It really is a kind of spring stew. That's there, and you can make it in a cast iron pot if you want. You don't have to have a tagine. But if you have one, good for you.
Well, it's fun, too. The presentation is great. If you have a tagine, to bring it out to the table.
I'm going to be going on Amazon and buying a tagine and those potato chips.
Tagines.
Okay. That's my order.
We also have a favorite recipe, fish stew with fennel and baby potatoes.
Fennel.
I love fish stews south of France, right, Carol, that have fennel in them.
Absolutely.
You see it all the time.
Everywhere. Pastis is everywhere.
We've got small potatoes and olive oil and a fennel bulb you get at the supermarket and just chop it up, and garlic cloves and a little white wine, some creme fraiche, you get it in the market, and you can use skinless flounder or fluke or whatever fish happens to be around. I don't think it really matters. It's kind of a neutral fish. I wouldn't do swordfish in something like this. And then some dill in there. So big pot, just like Carol's doing, big pot over the heat and cooking the potatoes, and they soften in about 3 minutes. And then you throw in the fennel and the garlic, a little bit of salt and pepper, another couple minutes, you add some wine, cook that off. So people who don't drink still can have this stew because it's cooked off, and then a little bit of water, and you start simmering this, and then the fish goes in at the end, as you know, Carol.
It just finishes poaching off at the end there.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's nice in there would be even a little orange zest or lemon zest.
Ooh,
yeah.
Oh, I've never done
in
that.
In Provence, they use orange zest all the time. The old Provençal cooks have the whole rind just hanging in the kitchen, drying, and they throw that into all their fish stews. And
do you do that at the restaurant?
At the restaurant, yeah.
So it's dried, though. So how do you process it? Like chop it up finely?
You just take and put like a whole big piece into a stew.
And then you pull it out when you're done.
Yeah, exactly.
Almost like a bay leaf.
Yep. You can use it that way. Yeah.
That's a great idea.
It goes in the garbage
most of the time when you're eating an orange.
And it's wonderful because it has that wonderful fragrance,
peel
the citrus,
but orange as well.
So
that's great.
And with fennel, it just works.
And I don't think we use
really
fennel
well
enough.
Together.
You use a lot of fennel.
I love fennel.
I love it. You don't see it.
Because it has a licorice-y sort of people are...
I love eating it just raw.
I roast it in the oven.
Yeah,
shaved
with a little lemon juice and olive oil
and
just
parsley and a few olives
delicious. That's good spring food, right?
Yeah.
There's some beautiful fennel liqueurs out there too.
Yeah.
Well, I was just thinking about those liqueurs that.
Well, pastis, of course, is the mother
of all
of them.
You could put a little tad in here.
I would
stew.
I would. I cook with a lot of Pernod or pastis or.
So this recipe is posted online, along with Carol's recipe and several of the desserts from the book that we have coming up at foodschmooze.org. As promised, Anthony has created something. This is so riotous. We're calling this the Don Corleone Negroni.
Yep.
Because it is a classic Negroni. And it is like a Jello shot, and he's done it in an orange. Cut in the segments, so this is a shimmering orange segment that is a drink. Gorgeous looking, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Hilarious. What's in a Negroni?
So it's a classic Negroni, which is Robin and I's favorite cocktail, which is equal parts of gin, Campari, and sweet vermouth. Everything just kind of came together. You know, when we were talking about the garden hacks, and we were talking about what to do with the orange rinds. And
is this because in the Godfather movie right before?
Well, that's why I called it the Don Corleone. Yeah, so he's in the garden, and there it is. When I put it all together, you know, I said, what can we put for a vessel to make this kind of fun? And I just thought of doing the orange slice, which is the classic Negroni garnish.
So the recipe is at foodschmooze.org.
And this took all of 15 minutes.
You filled an orange half.
Yes, I cut the orange in half from where the stem side is down. So once you have your orange in half to hollow it out, it's easier to peel the pieces out.
So like an egg or something.
Exactly,
from top to bottom, instead
of
a cross.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then I just made some strawberry jello and put a couple of dashes of rhubarb bitters in there from Fee Brothers. You don't have to if you don't have them, but just wanted to get that strawberry rhubarb flavor, and then just added the Negroni ingredients to that,
and then poured
it into the orange slices and put it in the refrigerator, and 4 hours later there they were.
But first you put it into the orange half.
Yes, you make your jello, and then I just poured that into the orange half and then put that in the refrigerator. This will make enough to fill 4 orange halves.
Two
whole oranges, put those in the refrigerator for 4 hours.
And then when it's set, you then slice these into segments.
Yeah, I just slice them into segments. Get a very sharp knife because the jello will try to, if you use a steak knife or something, you're definitely going to ruin your presentation. But
no serrated knives.
No serrated knives.
Yeah. Or a laser.
Yeah, or a laser possibly. Yeah. So for today's show, I mean, there you have the strawberry, the rhubarb, we have the garden hacks, we have what to do with our orange slices and orange wedges, and there it is, the Don Corleone
Negroni.
And a jello shot all in one.
I love it.
So, absolutely delicious and hilarious.
So I'm looking for Robin's thumbs up to see what she thinks in there.
There it is. Okay, Robin's good. All right.
She can't talk. She has an orange in her mouth.
I couldn't get it out of my mouth.
Don't forget the tickets to our martini competition if you want to register as a bartender, a restaurant. But most of all, tickets for the party of the year as far as we're concerned.
Can't wait. Bartenders are ready again.
CTMartini.org. CTMartini.org, I should say. So here's a question that I have. We're going to do our sort of a spontaneous meetup on April 6th at Good News Cafe in the bar.
Right.
Okay, and we're inviting everyone who's listening to just come do that with us. Why don't restaurants and bars serve more interesting drinks, you know, for the non-alcohol drinker?
I think we've been talking that they're doing it more and more and more now.
If someone who's recovering, you right. certainly don't want to go and hang out right. in bars. You know, I mean, I understand that. But I'm talking with, about people who just don't want to drink. They don't yeah. drink.
We do, you know, a fresh fruit juice that we make from fresh melons, whatever yep. it is, you know. And we always have that. Yeah, and it's in a wine glass. So, you know, you have a garnish with it, everything.
That's good for you.
Yeah, we've done that for years and years and years. Good. And we found over the last few years it's much more popular than it was even years ago. But in the summertime, we'll make like a gazpacho drink. You can do all those kind of things that are delicious.
And you're also seeing, now remember, if we go back historically, I mean, a bar was really there for one thing, and that was for drinking. But then you had your bar and restaurant. And now with the culture of the foodies and everybody that like us, we're going out and we don't want to drink, but there is a bar in the building. But now you have the craft cocktail movement.
Right.
So with the craft cocktail movement, just like you're saying, is now us bartenders behind, we're working with the chefs. We are having more fresh juices, more fresh orange juice, mm-hmm. pineapples, grapefruits.
Vegetables.
We do fresh apple juices. Again, the fresh tomato juices. Those weren't always available, but now they are. And now we like to play with our different flavors. We're also, as bartenders, as a craft, are making flavored syrups as well. So using fresh fruits to maybe make a blueberry syrup or a raspberry syrup. And mm-hmm. you know what? That goes really great with mm-hmm. that pineapple juice that we have. So now it's even easier to make high-quality mocktails, or as we call them sometimes, maternitinis.
Maternity.
And just a little bit of club soda. So we're using more fresh ingredients, less off the soda gun. And because we have more available, it's easier for us to design. It's like what you ask me to do every week. It's, you know, Anthony, I want something nice and fresh with fresh ingredients. And everything that I've made so far, if you take the alcohol out, you still have a beautiful drink.
Exactly. You don't need to add the alcohol.
Yeah, the alcohol is almost like the salt and pepper now.
That's it. And it isn't just the Virgin Mary anymore.
Right.
It's, you know, there's a lot of drinks being made that are non-alcoholic.
Okay, so we'll do a quick break, and then we're going to meet Yasi Arafi. She's author of the cookbook, Sweeter Off the Vine, All Desserts Based on Fresh Fruits. Wonderful, especially this bundt cake that we're going to tell you about. We have those. We love the local. Please support your local food growers and food makers for on-demand podcast delivery of the Food Schmooze Party every week. And to find our food, wine, and cocktail recommendations, our streaming videos, recipes we feature, we're online at foodschmooze.org, and we'll be right back. We have one more mouthwatering bite of the Food Schmooze coming up. Here's something great to know about. Sign up for the app called NPR One. Just download it from the iPhone App Store or your Android device. And once you do, you can set WNPR as your local station. Couldn't be easier. Download the free app NPR One and start listening. Let's party on. More Food Schmooze. This is the Food Schmooze Party, offering the richness of life and coming to you in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including Westchester County, the East End of Long Island, the Hamptons. The senior producer is Robin Doyen Aiken, and to hear the show on WNPR, it airs Thursdays at 3 and Saturdays at noon. Podcasts and our curated recommendations are always online at foodschmooze.org. Talk with us on Facebook, too. Search Faith Middleton. Okay, here we go. This cookbook is called Sweeter Off the Vine. These are fruit desserts for every season. We're going to focus in on spring and the beginning of summer with you. The creator of this cookbook is Yasi Arafi. Yasi Arafi, welcome to the Food Schmooze Party.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. I want to jump right into something that's perfect for spring, and that is your lemon verbena olive oil cake. lemon verbena has this kind of citrusy flavor and aroma that is just so good. You just have to say the words olive oil cake to me, and you've got me already. But lemon verbena olive oil cake, that's a good one. Tell us about this.
Well, I love that citrusy flavor of lemon verbena, and so to me it's a natural pairing with lemon and olive oil.
So lemon zest and sugar, and you're using the leaves. How do you use the leaves to infuse this cake?
In this cake, what I did was to take the leaves and to process them with the sugar in the cake, which makes this really vibrant, kind of densely flavored sugar that helps the herb flavor permeate the whole cake, which is really nice.
Uh-huh, and the lemon zest in there, I like the idea of the boosting of citrus, but also the slight bitterness of that. That's a good idea.
Yeah, I think lemon zest is a great back pocket ingredient for almost any fruit dessert. It pairs really well with herbs, and it also really highlights the flavor of just about any fruit.
Let's move into cherry season, because we know the first cherries. Does everyone agree with me? The first cherries come out in April.
April, May.
Yeah.
May, closer to May.
Soon.
This year it might be sooner for sure.
We can see some cherries coming in from California in April.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oregon, too, is a big, big state.
Oregon, that's right.
Oregon,
So, Yasa, you have a spiked cherry sorbet, and you're using sweet cherries for this. This comes together so easily. When people are thinking about dessert, for me, is among the most expensive things that I put on the table because I'm not a baker. And I tend not to make my own desserts.
Good desserts.
I'm always buying good desserts.
And I thought you were going to say you eat a lot.
it's yet another $100 on my dinner.
Here comes safe.
So this is one of those things that I love, these dessert recipes that you can really do yourself if you're not a baker. So pitted sweet cherries, some water, sugar, lemon juice. In this case, rye whiskey, a little bit of sweet vermouth, and Angostura bitters.
Old-fashioned cherries.
This is a kind of play on the Manhattan, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. My boyfriend makes really good Manhattans, and I wanted to figure out a way to kind of take the flavor of that really boozy sweet cherry at the bottom of the glass and have a whole bowl of them.
Nice.
Can you tell me how this goes together? You could actually do this because of the alcohol in a container and do it with a fork. You don't have to have an ice cream machine, do you?
Sure, you could absolutely do that. You could make the base for the sorbet, which is some cooked cherries along with some sugar and the rye whiskey and bitters and vermouth, and you could totally just put that into a glass baking dish, cover it with plastic, check on it every 30 minutes or so, and give it a stir or a scrape with a fork, and you'll still have like a delicious, slushy, cherry-spiked sorbet.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, like,
oh, yeah. A granita. Yeah. Right up my alley.
Yeah, granita, yes, exactly.
Yeah. And in fact, totally a granita.
Yeah, and let's turn to your granita, because the way the weather's going, this isn't so great. Yeah, watermelons will be here in 5 minutes, so you've got a watermelon granita with chili and lime, and that is such a wonderful combination. There's a little cayenne in here with some chili powder and salt and sugar and fresh lime juice and chopped seedless watermelon. And this, again, comes together. You start with the food processor, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. You basically take chunks of the freshest, most delicious, juicy watermelon that you can find. And remove the seeds if it has seeds. If it's seedless, you can just toss it in. Then you add some sugar and some seasonings, blend it up, and then it's very similar to the sorbet in that you could probably churn it in an ice cream machine if you wanted to have something more like that, or you just can put it in a glass baking dish, put it in the freezer, check on it every 30 minutes or so, and scrape it with a fork. And then you could either serve that as is, or you could add a little bit of tequila or mezcal.
Yeah, I was just going to ask that.
That point.
Okay. So we have several of Yasi Arafi's recipes on our website, and this watermelon granita with chili and lime is one of them. Another one is wine-soaked peaches with lemon verbena. We were talking about these leaves from the verbena infusing things. And here's where you're using, Yasi, a dry white wine. You could use a Sauvignon Blanc, for instance. And there's a little bit of whipped cream and a vanilla bean and some sugar and, of course, some ripe peaches. How does it come together?
This is really a summer dessert at its best and most simple state. You find the best peaches you can. take a dry white wine, a little bit of sugar, some vanilla bean, and crushed lemon verbena leaves, and you just slice the peaches and soak those peach slices in this delicious kind of wine syrup that you've made. Mm. And then you can serve that in a chilled glass. It's super elegant. You could also take a little bit of that leftover wine and make a delicious, refreshing spritzer. It's one of my favorite Very things cool. in the summer, and it's so, so simple.
Mm. And would you be able, Chris, what?
These are desserts I can make. And you try. Faith and I are not the bakers in the room.
Yeah.
I could do that.
Yes, you could. And I'm thinking that there are ways to fool with these where if you're not an alcohol drinker, you could substitute kind of flavored
wine.
Syrup. You could do a soda.
Well, ginger is always a good substitute.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
It's always a good substitute when you're using ginger lemon ale. Verbena and ginger go together really well.
Oh, I like that,
cool.
Carol.
So,
yeah. Okay, so that is on our website, too. And we also have this one. The way the world works, blood oranges, we think, are in season and for a certain period of time. And I'm someone who does buy them when they're out, and I squeeze the juice out, and then I freeze it, and I use it in various ways to make pan sauces, to flavor a martini, whatever it is. This really drove me wild. We have this on the website. These are blood orange old-fashioned donuts.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, you can see the glaze on the top. Yes, Carol. So here we go. It's the glaze where the blood orange comes in. So, Yossi, tell us about these. Oh, I wish we had these right now.
Me too.
Go ahead.
Well, the incredible variety of citrus during the winter is such a blessing because winters in the Northeast can be kind of dark and the weather's not great, but then you go to the grocery store and you see Meyer lemons and blood oranges and all of these really beautiful things. And so I wanted to make something that really highlighted the beautiful color of blood oranges. And the first thing my mind shot to was a beautiful pink glaze. And then I thought, well, what could that beautiful pink glaze go on? And of course I thought of old-fashioned donuts because they are delicious. And a really unique way, I think, to use citrus fruit that maybe somebody might not think of. But it's a really simple donut dough. It comes together a lot like a cookie dough. You do have to deep fry it, but then you cover it with this really delicious, stunning pink glaze.
Right. So here's the way my mind works. There are so many bakers we have in our Food Schmooze crowd. However, since I'm not one of them, I immediately said to myself, oh, this is the best idea. I'll buy cider donuts that are made at the farm, and then I'll make this glaze that Yossi's got in here and put it on top. So that was my fast way. But we're telling you on our website how to actually make these from Yossi's book and everything about Yossi Arafi's cookbook. Sweeter Off the Vine, and these are fruit desserts for every season. Here is another flavor combination I love. Grapefruit and Meyer lemon bundt cake. Isn't the bundt cake just the best thing?
It totally is.
It's never gone out of style
for
me.
Because it's like a great pound cake, you know, with all different fruits or whatever you have in it, and it holds together.
I love the pan.
Yeah,
but
it's just delicious.
Carol, what I love, Carol Peck at Good News Cafe has the most incredible desserts always. Carol, what I love is the surface that has the...
The
crispness.
Grooves in it.
It has
holds
the crisp.
On to that glaze on top.
No, it's just so good. So,
well, that's what's wonderful about any kind of cake like that you have a lot of outside surface.
Yes.
You know, you don't want to have too much interior.
No, you want to the outside. Exactly.
It almost gets a little crust.
I love that.
It's like the bagel or the bialy, really, you know, where you have the outside is the point.
That's like my favorite flavor combination is the Meyer lemon and grape.
Isn't that terrific, Anthony? Okay, so Yossi, grapefruit and Meyer lemon bundt cake. Tell us about this. You've got a glaze on this one, too, and we have this on the website, too. Go ahead.
I think that cake is really unique because a lot of the time when you see a citrus cake or a citrus pie, it's using the juice and the zest of the citrus, but you're kind of losing all of the flesh. And so for this particular cake, you use the whole fruit. The grapefruit and Meyer lemon segments are folded into the cake batter, and they make these little kind of jammy tart pockets throughout the cake that are really interesting and I think really unique. It's a really unique way to make a citrus.
I agree. I absolutely agree. I think that is just...
I love the idea.
Isn't that wonderful? I don't know why people haven't done that before.
Well, it's like raisins, you know.
Yes, in a scone or something.
Instead using citrus like that and pink grapefruits in the wintertime are the best.
Yeah.
So, you want to feel healthy. You eat a few supremes of that, and you're like, yes, I can do anything.
In a bundt cake. It's got grapefruit in it. It's
and good. A bun cake. It's like a vitamin.
Ice cream on top.
So, Yassi, it's so good to talk to you. Thank you for doing this book and highlighting fruit this way. In addition to these combinations sounding so delicious, there is something that makes us feel less guilt when we have fruit in our dessert. So we love the idea of that. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It was fun.
Yassi Arafi, you can see several of her recipes on our website and information about this book, too. The book is called Sweeter Off the Vine, Fruit Desserts for Every Season. Don't forget, our Food Schmooze team here wants to hang out with you. And we've never done this before, we're going to have a meetup at Carol Peck's Good News Cafe in the bar from 6 to 8 p.m. on Wednesday, April 6th. We're all going to run our own tabs and just hang out and have a good time together. It just seems like a really fun thing to do.
Good food, good company, and good news.
Yeah. Oh, so good for you is what I think. All right. We are on WNPR Thursdays at 3, Saturdays at noon, weekdays. Listen for my 60-second food schmoozes. Join the conversation with us. We're always up for a good time online at foodschmooze.org. In New Haven, I'm Faith Middleton.
Everybody eats when they come to my
This is the place to enjoy the richness of life. Sharing our local and national discoveries with you makes me want to get up in the morning. The gang and I hope you'll come back soon and often.